Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study where together we study the scriptures line upon line. This evening, God willing, we will study chapter 12 of the epistle, the first epistle to the Corinthian congregation. And I think we will get through the chapter this evening. I'm on the road. The opening video is a little bit shaky for me, so I'm just hoping that the broadcast will be stable. I will open with prayer, and then I will check the chat just to make sure that I am, in fact, coming through loudly and clearly. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pause, as is our custom, to acknowledge you. It is quite remarkable, Father, that we can call you Father, that we can call each other brethren, that we can call Jesus Christ our elder brother and our Savior, that we can understand your covenant love and your covenant faithfulness and our covenant responsibility. We thank you so much, Father, for the Apostle Paul and how you worked in him so that we can understand how you work in us. And we just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the love that we have for each other. And we ask now that you would bless our study and deepen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me just go ahead and confirm that I'm coming through loudly and clearly. And audio and video are... Okay, very good. Thank you, Pastor Murray. And let me just quickly check. I'm so glad that I can be live this evening. I thought that I'd do a recording, but managed to work out the schedule so that we can be together live, which I personally deeply appreciate. Thank you for being here. Sister Rosebud, Grisilda73, Chawjaws. Let's see who else is here. Dave and Deb, sorry that I can't read the conversation, but I'm just seeing the names. Chawjaws, Christy Romine, Petty Milk, Donna Bawanta. Let's see who else. Looks like there's a good conversation. I'll try and catch up on the conversation later. Judy and Chuck, very, very nice. And Rick Four. And Pep Square. Thank you so much, and I know many are not able to check in, but you're with us, and we do appreciate you very much. And as I say, I thought that I have to do this as a recording, but I just really appreciate when we're all together. And I do have an idea around how we can just build on this community that we have built, or that God has built for us. So I'll share with that. I'll share that at another time. But I'm just kind of thinking of how we can all come together and benefit from our desire to understand God's word more perfectly. All right, let me go ahead and share my screen, and then let's get into the chapter for this evening, which is chapter 12, a familiar chapter, which is the chapter regarding gifts. So I'll go ahead and share my screen here, and I think the font is good. Okay, so we read here. I want to just go back to two verses in chapter 11, just to set up the context for chapter 12. So when we were in chapter 11, we saw they were coming together for the Lord's Supper, and the Apostle Paul was upbraiding them to say that, in fact, they were not engaging in the Lord's Supper, that there was a model that the Lord set down on the last night of his life on earth, the night he was betrayed, sharing a meal with his disciples, and then moving from that meal into what some call the communion or the Passover ritual and symbolism. And then that was passed on, and it was passed on to Paul, who then passed it on to the Corinthian brethren, who were supposed to be following this tradition. But instead of following the tradition, they deviated from it, and Paul was very upset with them. He says he couldn't possibly praise them in this, because when they were coming together to model what the Lord had done, was to share a meal with his disciples with his mind on them. He loved them to the end, willing to give up his life. And in that meal, having that attitude of being fully committed to the eternal life of his brethren. And so the Corinthians were having the meal, but they didn't have the Lord's attitude. They didn't have the Lord's love. And so Paul upbraided them for that. And here in verse 29, he says, like, what you're doing is horrible. It says, you don't come together for the better. You actually come together for the worse. It'd be better if you didn't come together at all. And then he explains that he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. That's why it would be better for them to stay at home, for them than to come together and do this in such an unworthy manner that they were in fact cursing themselves. Why? Because they weren't discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body was right there with them. They were supposed to share this meal with the Lord's body, but they couldn't discern the Lord's body. They had a problem. And he says, for this reason, because you can't discern the Lord's body, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And so from this, we now come into chapter 12 with the education on the gifts. And one of the gifts is the gift of healing, and it's not given to everybody. It requires discernment. Who has what gift? But because the Corinthians were so enamored with the spectacular gift of speaking in tongues, they were not discerning that brethren had other gifts, and they didn't really understand how the Lord's body functions. So coming from this deep state of ignorance, Paul wants to educate them on how the gifts actually work, because they were a very gifted congregation. And he said that right in the opening in chapter 1 in verse 4. He said he couldn't stop thanking God on their behalf for the grace of God, which is given to them by Jesus Christ, that in everything they were enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So there was no shortage of giftedness in the congregation, that Paul had to just constantly thank God for this grace that had been shown to them in enriching them and equipping them and empowering them with this level of giftedness in utterance and in knowledge. However, we saw all of this division. They were in factions. They were separating, fighting over men, thinking that certain gifts were more important than others, and therefore if you didn't have those gifts, you were less of a member. We saw them tolerating incredible immorality, and who knows why, but they certainly were tolerating incredible immorality, visiting prostitutes, not caring if a brother was deeply offended over their eating meat sacrificed to idols, and Paul really having to educate them on that. And then we see even when it came to the Passover, they were just so completely ignorant of the grace of God and the will of God that they were even desecrating the Passover service. And so he says, you know, you're not discerning the Lord's body. And from that now, he goes into this education on the Lord's body, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12. And they must have asked him something about the gifts. So he says now, concerning, and it says here spiritual gifts, but you'll notice that gifts is in italics. It's not there in the Greek. So what's there in the Greek is a noun, and the translators are making the judgment that he's speaking about gifts. But it would be equally valid to say, now concerning the spiritual ones, just as concerning the spiritual. And so the translators say gifts. You could say now concerning the spiritual individuals. And that would be an equally valid translation, which could be defended based on the context, and which personally I lean to. Because it says you're not discerning the Lord's body. And so because you're not discerning the individuals that are among you, many, and some of them have the gift of healing, but you're not discerning that. You don't prioritize that. You just prioritize the spectacular gift of speaking in tongues. And so those individuals that possess this spectacular gift are elevated and focused on and prioritized, and all the other brethren are being ignored. So concerning the spiritual individuals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. All of you individuals were Gentiles for the most part, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So that's the state of ignorance you individuals were in. So you can see how verse 1 and verse 2, the subject is the same. Because to start in verse 1 talking about gifts and then pivot to talk about individuals, it's like, why did he do that? But the subject beginning in chapter 11 is the individuals that make up the body of Christ. So concerning spiritual individuals, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. The way that you're behaving in chapter 11 during the Lord's Supper, you know that all of you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I want you to understand this, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man or no individual can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, discern the Lord's body. And these individuals that are coming together to observe the Lord's Passover, because they are acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, these are the spiritual individuals. And the rest are cursed. Your business associates, your people who you may have other ties to, but they cannot say that Jesus is Lord. They don't have the Spirit. You have to discern the Lord's body. You have to discern the spiritual individuals. And the spiritual individuals among you are those that are coming together for the Lord's Passover, regardless of their social status. They're coming together to praise the Lord and to acknowledge that He is the Lord. These are the spiritual ones. And they cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes from the Father. So God is the one that infuses the spiritual ones with the Holy Spirit. And that's what enables them to praise Jesus as Lord. You must discern the Lord's body. This is a continuation of not the ignorance that was among them, that they couldn't discern the Lord's body. And as a result, they were suffering. So concerning the spiritual ones, you need to understand you were Gentiles. You were in darkness. You were in ignorance. And then God handpicked you and infused you with the Holy Spirit so that you can say Jesus is Lord. And that's not possible without God's infusion of the Holy Spirit. And all those other people that you know that maybe you're pursuing business arrangements with or social status with, if they cannot say Jesus is Lord, it's because God has not given them the Holy Spirit. You must discern the Lord's body. Now that you understand the difference between the Lord's body and everybody else, now, so who are the spiritual ones and who are the carnal ones? Now that you understand who the spiritual ones are, the Lord's body, let's talk about the Lord's body. So let's be very clear who's out and who's in. And now that we're clear on discerning the Lord's body, let's talk about the Lord's body. Now, within the Lord's body, within the spiritual ones, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So the Corinthians were getting very narrow in their view of spirituality, that it had to be spectacular. And they were pursuing that. And Paul is coming to say, don't be ignorant. First of all, understand the only way that you can acknowledge the Lord and be baptized and submit to His authority is through the Holy Spirit. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, you must understand there's a variety of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are differences or varieties of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all. So different gifts, different administrations, a variety of operations, but it's the same Spirit, it's the same Lord, it's the same God that is orchestrating this. That's what you have to understand. So the source of the Spirit is God. But there's variety within those spiritual ones that receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the presentation of the Spirit, the expression of the Spirit, how it reveals itself, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to every man, every spiritual one. Don't be ignorant of the spiritual ones. Now that you understand who the spiritual ones are, the expression of the Spirit is given to every one of the spiritual ones. Whoever God separates with the receipt of His Holy Spirit, there is an expression of that Spirit in that individual. So don't be ignorant of the spiritual ones. All of them, all the spiritual ones that you're not discerning, that you're not respecting, that you're neglecting, there's an expression of the spirit. You need to do a rethink. Go back and review your interactions with these brethren, these spiritual ones, and notice the manifestation of the spirit. It might not be what you prioritize, but you will see the expression of the spirit. And there's a variety of expressions. He says, unto every one of us is given grace. Don't be ignorant of the spiritual ones. Every single spiritual one is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's a variety. It's different types and different levels and different measures. And it creates this real diversity of the expression of the spirit among the spiritual ones. But unto every one of us is given grace. It's just, we don't manufacture this. It's not a factory setting. It doesn't come with the natural human. It's given by God's grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, I wanted to parallel this. Ephesians 4, how he was teaching the Ephesians with what he's teaching to the Corinthians. That's what I wanted to do. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That this education that he's given to the Corinthians is very similar to the education that he was given to the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church being a much healthier congregation, but it's the same knowledge that's very important to understand how the Spirit works. He says, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, so notice that it is a gift from God. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. So he crushed captivity. He crushed the power of the devil. And then he gave gifts unto men. What are these gifts? He says, now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And what did he give? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why this variety of gifts for the perfecting of the saints? That's why. God is giving this grace, he's giving this giftedness so that the saints can be matured. This is the education he was given to Ephesians. This is the education he's given to the Corinthians. The reason for the giftedness is for the development of the saints. So if the Corinthians are not acknowledging the spiritual ones, then the body cannot be properly edified. He gives this for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That is the body, that the service of that the body can do together. The work of the ministry. What is that? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So each one is given this gift, and the gifts are also come in the form of these men that are gifted in a very special way to edify the body of Christ. Even the same teaching Peter gave here in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so serve the same one to another. So every one of us has received a gift. So then we have to minister to each other with that gift as good stewards of the manifold or various grace of God. So the very abundant grace of God that we have that comes in all these different forms, we have to be good stewards of this grace. So whatever giftedness you have, you have to be a steward of that giftedness so that you can help build up the body. And I have to be a steward of the giftedness I have so that I can build up the body. But it's God's orchestration. None of us get to say, well, I will have this gift and you cannot have that gift. It's just the wisdom of God. He's the one that by his grace gives this. And so Peter goes on to say, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Develop that gift so that you can speak as of the oracles of God. And if any man serve, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. It's not just normal service. All of us can serve. But some of us have this incredible supernatural gift of service that we can go above and beyond what everybody else can do. And where everybody else would be exhausted, they're energized by this. They get a deep joy from doing this. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the apostles were teaching the brethren so that they wouldn't be ignorant of how the grace of God operates within the body of Jesus Christ. Back to the Corinthians, verse 8. He's just trying to help them understand this grace of God, because they were ignorant of it. They were a church that really prided themselves on knowledge, and Paul is just showing them over and over again these different areas where they're actually very ignorant. And one of them was the operation of the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual ones, the receipt of the Holy Spirit and how it operates. He says, you need to understand this, Corinth. To one is given by the Spirit, so that Spirit that they received at baptism, by that Spirit, one is given the word of wisdom. That's amazing. And then he says, not to that one, to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. They were both baptized. They both received the same Spirit from the Lord. And yet, to one was given wisdom, and to the other, the word of knowledge. And it's the same Spirit. But it's dividing who gets what gift, and how it manifests itself in the human vessel. And then he says, to yet another one. So you've got one that's got wisdom, you've got one that's got knowledge, and yet to another one is given faith. And it's the same Spirit. Now, we all have faith. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have faith. But there's a depth and intensity of faith that one has that others don't have. They're able to read the Word of God, understand it, and be convicted by it at a depth and a level that others don't have this. And so they're able to edify the body because they have this depth of conviction of faith. And that's given to one, and it's a separate one from the one that had the wisdom, which is a separate one from the one that had the knowledge. And then he says, and this is again going back to chapter 11, where they were not honoring Christ's body. They were not discerning the Lord's body. He says, you've got wisdom, you've got knowledge, you've got faith, and yet not to those, but to another one, the gifts of healing. And it's the same Spirit. I don't want you to be ignorant of the spiritual ones and how the Spirit actually operates. And many are sickly among you and they're dying. And yet you have the gift of healing in your midst, but you don't recognize it, because you're prioritizing utterance. You're prioritizing the spectacular expression of knowledge, the miraculous expression of speaking in tongues, which is other languages, not this Pentecostal voodoo, but actual speaking in languages. He says here, and yet to another, the working of miracles. And many are sickly and dying among you, and you're not understanding the spiritual ones. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. Some brethren are very naive, and there are clues that there's a bad spirit, a wrong spirit. But they're naive, they don't see this. And yet, we have brethren that will spot it right away. We'll see it right away. And we have to acknowledge, you know what? Maybe I don't have the gift of discernment, but you do. And so let's understand how the Spirit works. So when it comes to discernment, I'm not going to try to think I can figure this out on my own. I'm going to figure out who among us actually has a track record of discerning spirits. And we're going to lean on them for that. And who among us has a track record of wisdom, faith, knowledge, healing, miracles? It's the same Spirit. It's just coming, expressing itself through the spiritual ones in different ways. And then at the end of the list, he puts what the Corinthians would put at the top of the list, which they were putting at the top of the list. The diverse kinds of tongues, different language, the ability to speak in these languages, and the other, the ability to interpret the languages. These are the gifts that the Corinthians put at the top of the list, and maybe these are the only gifts that they had on the list, because it was so spectacular. And they were ignoring all the others, which meant they were disrespecting and demoralizing the spiritual ones, because they couldn't discern them, and they were not discerning the Lord's body. They were just thinking of one, you have to have this type of gift, and you have to behave in this particular way to be spiritual. And Paul is saying, you got it all wrong. And what you're prioritizing, I'm gonna list the gifts, examples of the gifts, and I'm gonna put those last, so that you can have a better respect for how the same Spirit works and manifests itself through the spiritual ones. So these are the variety of gifts. And then Paul says that all these work that one and self-same Spirit. You have to discern the spiritual ones. Nobody is in this body unless they can acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And that's only possible through the receipt of the Holy Spirit. And those that don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord is because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. But the ones that have received the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that everybody received presents itself differently through the different brethren. So today, we don't have, in the first church, the ability to speak spectacularly through tongues was a big deal, and it was a very important gift in the establishment of the church. We don't see that today. But that doesn't mean that we don't have gifts that by nature all of us just naturally prioritize. So let's say that the gift of wisdom, or those that are, and maybe this is a problem, all of us want to teach. Everybody wants to be at the podium teaching, but not everybody has this gift. But because it's sort of a very obvious and very visible gift, maybe the church has a way that we prioritize that. And because we prioritize that, human nature being what it is, everybody gravitates towards that. And even though we might say otherwise, subconsciously, and maybe even sometimes consciously, we defer and give more of a prioritization to the person who's very visible. The person who's not so visible, who has the gift of faith and prays silently and secretly and moves mountains, we don't really prioritize that. The person who's very quiet but can discern spirits, which is a critical gift to the health and protection of the body, we don't prioritize that because they're not up front. So I've been told, oh, Adrian, you're a charismatic speaker. I don't think that's accurate. I think what's more accurate is I'm a charismatic who speaks. You might be a charismatic who prays. The one beside you might be a charismatic who has wisdom. We are all charismatics because we have the charisma of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. And then that charisma expresses itself different ways. And so I think if we as a church understand that the gifts do not make one member more important than another, we are all members of the body, then I think we will all be healthier for it. And we won't have this ambition to be in roles that we really shouldn't be in. And we'll be very quick to recognize who should be in what roles. And okay, yes, you are a brother who teaches, but that's all you are. You're just a brother who teaches. You're a brother that's been given a certain gift and a certain role, but you're just a brother. We're all brethren. We're all students. We're all disciples together. And the brother or the sister who's been given the gift of faith, the one that's been given the gift of discernment, the one that's been given the gift of healing or miracles, we're all the same. And it doesn't take a spectacular gift to make one charismatic. above another. We're all charismatic as long as we've received the Holy Spirit. And the reason we're charismatic, the reason we've received the Spirit and the expression of the Spirit in our unique, unusual, or peculiar way is because all these gifts work that one and self-same Spirit. It's all expressing the Spirit, distributing to every man uniquely, idiosyncratically, as he will. We receive the Holy Spirit, and then the expression of the Spirit is this mysterious operation of God by his grace, knowing exactly who should have what expression of the Spirit and what role should each of us have in the edification of the body. This is what the Corinthian brethren had to understand in order to avoid becoming shipwrecked and to avoid this disastrous expression of hostility and conflict and selfishness that Paul had to address. So he has to help them understand by metaphor how the body of Christ actually operates. So he's taking now the human body to help them understand this spiritual reality. For he says, in the same way that your body is one, you have one body, you don't have multiple bodies. You got one body, but it has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. This is the way it is in Christ. There are many members, and they're different members, but it's one body. It's not different bodies. For by one Spirit, so it goes back to, like, you have to understand the spiritual ones. By one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. And Corinth had this mixed multitude, primarily Gentiles, Romans, but there's this mixed multitude, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We are one Israel, one body, through the Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Or another way of saying verse 14. The body is not exclusively those who can speak in tongues. So you're getting drunk on who can speak in tongues. But that's not the way the body works. You can't say, oh, because this person has this spectacular expression of the gift, that's who we look to as the spiritual ones. And everybody else we don't have any regard for. No, he's saying that's not the way it works. That gift, yeah, that's a gift. And maybe the gift of knowledge was something they were prioritizing. So it seems like they had teachers there that were very capable and could build a following. But the body's not one member. It's many with different expressions of the Spirit. And so going back now to this problem that they were not discerning the Lord's body. And so Paul is addressing this. The body's not one member. It's many. And you're not able to discern the Lord's body because you're only prioritizing one or two of the gifts. So they weren't discerning the Lord's body. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, he says, put away lying and speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. So same knowledge he's giving to the Ephesians. We're one body. We're different members, but it's the same body. Verse 15. And I read this verse differently now. I think the concept of verse 15, I always understood. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I think we understand this. Having read chapter 11, coming into chapter 12, I will say my understanding of this would be this. If the poor brother who is not able to get off work to get to the agape meal, and the brethren who are wealthier, have social standing, and maybe also have spectacular gifts, they're able to have the meal together. And I'm the poor brother who comes and I don't have these spectacular gifts. And also I'm of low social status. And so I'm not particularly being respected. So I feel like the foot. And I feel despised by my brethren. And so because I'm not being regarded, I'm not being respected, I'm coming to the conclusion that I must not be part of the body because of how I'm being treated. And that's what Paul is saying. If those brethren that you're despising because they don't have spectacular gifts, or they may have, and that's why he says whether bond or free, they may be bond servants, they may be lower in the social rung, you're forcing them to feel despised and come to the conclusion that they're not worth anything in the body. They're not really, maybe they're not really, they shouldn't even be there. That's what he's addressing. The nasty attitude within Corinth of despising the church. He says, what, don't you have houses that you can eat and drink in? Or is it that you despise the body of Christ? Is that what this is? You're despising the body of Christ? And now those people that you're despising are coming to the conclusion, well, if I'm not the hand, I guess I'm not useful and I'm not of the body. But can you actually conclude that it's not of the body just because it's a foot and not a hand? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So yeah, the eye is spectacular. You don't really see, you wouldn't see somebody go around and say, you have beautiful ears, right? Which is, the ear is not really regarded. But somebody might say to you, wow, I'd certainly say to my wife, you have beautiful eyes. So we acknowledge the eyes, they're beautiful. But I wouldn't necessarily say to her, you have beautiful ears. So does the ear say, well, since I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? Well, the ear has a really important function. And anybody who's lost their hearing knows just how important the loss of hearing is. I just heard a saying the other day, somebody was actually dealing with someone who is, who's losing their hearing. And I forget exactly how it went, but it was along the lines of, when you lose your sight, you're the first to know. But when you lose your hearing, you're the last to know. So as you begin to lose your hearing, you think everybody's mumbling around you and you don't realize you're actually losing your hearing. But if you begin to lose your sight, you know right away. You're the first one to. People don't realize it, but you realize it right away. So just interesting. But again, the prioritization of the sight over the ears, but actually both are equally important, or both are extremely important to our survival. Verse 22 of chapter 11, this whole conversation that Paul is having with them about, is this part of the body, because it's not another part of the body, can we conclude it's not part of the body? He's dealing with despising members of the body, not discerning the Lord's body. And so that's why he says here in verse 22, he's so shocked at the way they're behaving at the Lord's Supper. He says, like, don't you have houses that you can eat and drink in? Why are you behaving like gluttons at the agape meal and despise and being so selfish, you're despising members that haven't eaten? He says, can't you eat at home? Or is it that you despise members of the body? Are you trying to make a point by insulting members of the body? Is that what you're doing? And you want to shame members of the body that are poor. You want to shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Do you want me to praise you in this? I have nothing good to say about you here. So this despising, this attitude of despising that he identifies in chapter 11, he's bringing forward in chapter 12 because he doesn't want them to be ignorant of how the gifts work. So he says here in verse 17, if the whole body was an eye, then where would the hearing be? So if everybody spoke in tongues, if everybody had the same spectacular gift, where would the other functions be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now has God set the members, every single one of them, including the ones that you despise. He's the one that sets the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. This whole the spiritual ones are the operation of God. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So the Corinthians had it completely lopsided. They were very ignorant, in fact, of the operation of the Holy Spirit. And so where would you be as a body if it was a sort of a mono-homogeneous church where everybody was exactly the same, where in fact the Spirit is actually heterogeneous. Everybody's different. We're all complementary. And every one of us has a role in edifying the body. And I think today, what can happen again, because we might prioritize certain gifts over others, that there's a sense of being not needed, not necessary. That I'll come to services, I'll listen to a sermon, I'll sit there, I'll have a coffee or a tea, I'll talk a little bit, and then I'll leave. But I don't have anything in my mind that tells me I'm actually necessary. And the expression of the Spirit that God has uniquely given to me is required by the congregation that I'm a member of. My congregation needs my expression of the Holy Spirit, because only I can bring that expression. And the congregation, it's a gift for the congregation through me. And other members have gifts for the congregation through them. And together, we're building something that the Holy Spirit can operate through, collectively together. But if we're all just doing the same thing, where would the body be? But now, are they many members and yet one body? That's the way the spiritual ones operate. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Go back to chapter 11, verse 22, where Paul is saying, is it that you despise? Are you saying to the members of the church, I have no need of you? Well, you cannot say that. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Which is what they were doing at the Lord's Supper. So that's why he says, when I have no need of you, and you have the gift of healing, this is why many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 22 of chapter 12. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body that you're not discerning, those members of the body that you're despising are actually more necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, or our private parts, have more abundant comeliness. We take more care to protect our modesty than with our hands and our head and the parts that are exposed. We're not as careful to protect the privacy, to protect embarrassment. But that's what he's saying. This is there's parts of the body that you might be embarrassed over, but they're actually very necessary. And God, don't be surprised if those members of the body that you might feel a bit ashamed of, that you might not want to be caught in public with, you don't mind, I'll go to the congregation and I'll talk to them there. But if I'm actually on the road with my, say, business associates or academic associates or whoever I associate, or family, and I see them in the street, I might want to look the other way and pretend I don't know them because I'm somewhat embarrassed. But Paul is saying, no. According to the spiritual operation of God, don't be surprised if God gives them more honor. If God infuses them with special expressions of the gift that the body actually needs, so that the body will come to understand, upon them we bestow greater honor. And maybe the person who you would want to be associated with, and you would want everybody to know that you know this person, maybe God has not given them all of the or gifts, very necessary gifts, like healing, for example, that he might give to somebody else. So he says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our private parts have more abundant attractiveness. They're more important. If you want to have children, for example, there's that, you need your private parts. Genesis 3 verse 7. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So there's this attention to protect the modesty of their private parts. And then here in Genesis 3 verse 21, Adam also, and to his wife, to Adam and his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins, and he clothed them. That there's a sense of shame around the private parts, and so there's this protection of their modesty. Verse 24. For our comely parts don't have this need. We're fine. My hands are exposed. My face is exposed. It's fine. But God has tempered the body together. It's Him who's put us together in these congregations, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So the part of the person that God puts in the body, in your congregation, in my congregation, that maybe is more feeble, God, in terms of the spiritual operation, God may have infused that person with very powerful gifts so that the body will come to understand, wow, we need this person. And that's what they were not discerning. And why does He do this? Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. That's why. That we would all, this division that was going on in the Corinthian church, and then as a result many were dying and sickly, if they came to recognize how the Spirit works and how it manifests itself differently in each member, then they wouldn't have these divisions. Instead, the members should have the same care one for another. Excuse me, so that place where they came to, where Paul had to ask, are you despising the church of God? Are you despising members? If they understood the spiritual operation of the Holy Spirit, they would have the same care, that everybody would care for everybody the same way. And they would tarry for one another. They would wait. There's no way they would proceed when a member hasn't arrived yet. They would wait. So even I'm hungry, I'm waiting, because one of our members isn't here yet. And by the way, they didn't have cell phones back then when they could just text and say, I'm running a bit late. They would just have to wait. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And again, this is a verse that I've read before and understood, but in the context of chapter 11, it's really come to life. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And that's why he says again, for this cause, many are sickly among you, and many die. Because there's a member that's suffering, that's being despised, being disrespected. That member is suffering, and as a result of that member suffering, you have people who are precious members that are sickly and dying, because when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. So whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. For this cause, many are sickly among you and die. Verse 20 of chapter 11, he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're going through the ritual, but this is not the Lord's Supper. You've completely missed the point. Why? Because in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper. And one is hungry, one is suffering, and another is drunken. So one is happy as Larry, he's doing well, he's happy, he's great. But one is suffering. And when one suffers, all suffer. And this is why. This is for this reason. Many are sickly among you, and many die. Because when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. But if you could acknowledge the gift of healing in that member, then the whole body would rejoice. Now, verse 27. You are the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ, but your members in particular. This is not Islam. In Islam, everybody has to be Muhammad. This sociopath, this psychopath that basically destroyed personality, would not allow people to be themselves. If he saw one of his followers was a musician and had a certain special gift or was an artist, he would shut that down. and say, you have to be exactly like me. So every single Muslim has no personal expression. The more devout they become, the more they have to become a carbon copy of Muhammad. Every single Muslim must be a Muhammadan. That is not the way the spirit works. God wants your unique personality, your unique giftedness to be expressed in the body. Yes, we are all pursuing the character of Christ, but we're pursuing that with the variety of expression of our personalities and the giftedness, the grace of God that he's given to each one of us individually, so that we can all edify the body in our unique way. So God wants you to fully realize who you are. Who are you? Show up as you. We don't want a carbon copy of, you know, everybody has to be in my congregation, let's say, everyone has to be either like Adrian or Murray. No, everybody has to be themselves and be like Christ in character, but express the part of the spirit, the giftedness of the spirit that he's given to you, that he's given to me individually, in particular. Here in Romans 12, he says, so we, same lesson to the Romans, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we're all this body. He's trying to get them to understand how they use the human body to understand how the spiritual reality works. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church. This is exactly what he was teaching to the Ephesians. And now after all of this lesson of how the Spirit expresses itself in the different gifts, he says this to the Corinthian brethren. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. It's interesting again. He lists tongues last. Last. This is what they were all clamoring after. He puts it last. To really put them in their place and say, you're missing the point. Now, listen to this. Are all apostles? And the way the question is phrased, the answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. And it can be just very maybe hurtful to us to say we have to treat everybody like they're a teacher. Anybody can speak. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? The answer is no. Have all the gifts of healing? The answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. And again, the fact that they were prioritizing those who could speak with tongues and treating it like everybody needs to be able to speak with tongues, Paul is saying no. That's a particular gift in particular that one is given, but another is given something else. And then do all interpret. So always tongues and interpretation he puts last. Then he says, he concludes the chapter here, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So he says there are many, many gifts, and the Holy Spirit actually infuses you with a particular expression of the Spirit, and you have to develop that expression. So you might have it, but you can quench it. So whatever it is that you have to develop it through the expression, through contribution, through edification. The more you edify, the more you develop your giftedness. So pursue that. But then he says, instead of coveting, and he always listed tongues last. So in a way he's saying, instead of coveting tongues, covet the best gifts. And he's going to talk about that, but then he interrupts himself. It's like, you know, I'm about to tell you what the best gift is, but before I do that, let me show you a more excellent way. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So there's an interruption of thought. He's going to go off on a tangent, and chapter 13 is a tangent. It's an interruption of the train of thought. So God willing, next week we'll cover chapter 13, which is often read at weddings, which actually in context has nothing to do, I shouldn't say has nothing to do with weddings, but in its original context, it's not about weddings. It's about how a congregation should operate. And it's about how a congregation, each member in particular, must covet earnestly the best gifts. And the best gifts edify the church. And this ability to edify the church is something we must covet earnestly. And he's gonna tell us what that is in chapter 14. So chapter 14, verse 1, that first phrase, follow after agape, is the summary of chapter 13. So we're going to cover chapter 13, God willing, next week. And his point is, that's the more excellent way. So the more excellent way is to pursue these gifts, but in the spirit of agape. The fruit of the spirit is agape. So that's the more excellent way. And the Corinthian brethren had to understand that. But I interrupted myself. I was telling you to pursue and covet earnestly the best gifts. So desire spiritual gifts. Let me come back to my train of thought. To desire the spiritual gifts. And what is the best gifts? Rather, that you may prophesy. That every single one of us should covet earnestly to prophesy. And this is part of what we do in Burlington with our our pre-sermon and our after-sermon discussions, is we want to give everyone the ability to speak under inspiration and the ability to develop that skill and that giftedness of just being empowered by the Holy Spirit to just say the right thing at the right time to edify the church. But in order to pursue that, it has to be done in a more excellent way. And God willing, that's what we'll cover next week, which is not the gift, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is agape. So that is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So as I say, God willing, we will cover chapter 13 next week. Pastor Murray began, and I'll just check the chat in a bit to see if there's anything I need to respond to, but Pastor Murray began his message last Sabbath, just helping us recount the learning journey that we've been on over the last 13 years as a congregation. And he said he was going to do that in two parts. So God willing, this coming Sabbath at 1:30 Eastern time, Pastor Murray will continue with his message just regarding this journey that we have been on over the past 13 years. Let me just check and see if there is anything that I need to respond to. A lot of gratitude. We really appreciate you, brethren. Thank you so much. And I'll go through and I'll read the other parts of the conversation afterwards. We value you, brethren. We thank you so much. As Pastor Murray pointed out, and sometimes we forget, this is a learning journey that we are all on together. And I think what this evening study brought out is every one of us not only has the ability to edify one another, every single one of us have the responsibility to edify one another and the responsibility to recognize the expression of the Spirit in one another. Thank you so much, brethren, for joining us. We look forward to you joining us again on Sabbath. What a great and a mighty God we serve. God bless.